This is Mae Brussel. Program is titled World Watchers. It's number 689, World Watchers, Side 2, February the 18th, 1985. Now we'll go back again to the membership, the founding committee of this organization to turn the world Christian by 1990. Gerald Ford, former President Gerald Ford, he was a member of the Warren Commission who covered up the Nazi connections, the Gestapo connections, and so forth, to the person who killed John Kennedy, literally just buried the assassin's history, covered it up so that it's been 21 years and impossible to bring these people to trial. Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission, who pardoned Richard Nixon for any and all crimes that ever came after he walked out of the White House and appointed him President of the United States, he's on this group. Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski. Jaworski was a member of the Warren Commission. He began his career, if you remember, maybe you don't, when he was an attorney for a case where the Gestapo and the Nazis had brought criminals to America to a prison in Oklahoma. They were running the prison there, and he covered up that case, and then he went on to the Nuremberg trial. He was in the cell with Jack Ruby, and he covered up the people behind the murder of Kennedy. Then Jaworski became the special prosecutor for Senate and covered up the entire saga of Watergate. You didn't see Robert Mardian, the fellow who hosted the party for launching Reagan's career, get any slap on the wrist for things at the time of Watergate. And he covered that up. Then he covered up the Korea Gate story with Mr. Sasakow and Reverend Moon. And Leon Jaworski is a good team member out of this group. Among the other people putting up $1 million each, James Irwin, a cowboy star. Roy Rogers, football quarterbacks. Roger Starback and Staubach and Terry Bradshaw. Businessman W. Clement Stone. Clement Stone is from Chicago. He paid the full salary of Dwight Chapin, the appointment secretary, while he sat in jail at the time of Watergate. He was prosecuted and paid him and put him on a salary when he got out, Clement Stone. And Clint Murchison Jr. I'll be doing a lot more in the next few weeks on Clint Murchison Jr. funding the Minutemen, funding the Nazi Party and George Lincoln Rockwell, and the National Alliance in Washington, D.C. that William Pierce joined after he left United Technology and Pratt Whitney. Murchison was funding that outfit. And so these people and this article all make a cycle from Texas to California and to the Nazis in the northern area and back to Washington, D.C. There, another person that joined the group is industrialist Cullen Davis, two U.S. senators, and three former Texas governors, including John Connally. And John Connally's name was linked to the possible Dominica invasion of Don Black of the Klan, who has spent summers at Aryan Nations with Richard Butler up in Idaho. And I don't have to tell you his role in the Kennedy assassination, even though he had been shot, covering up as governor of the state. He originally was the one who was supposed to investigate it, and it would all be over. Of course, Oswald did it, but then it was moved to Washington, D.C., and he continued the cover-up. The article goes on, Mr. H.L. Hunt invited 500 supporters and potential supporters to Houston, Texas. This is in May, on May 16th to 18th in 1980. You and the others who have invested your time and money and influence, he said, will play a major role in helping to reverse the atheistic tide of darkness that threatens to engulf the world, he said. We encourage you to join us. Then Hunt is better known for another type of investment in silver. He and his brother, William Herbert Hunt, made huge purchases in the silver market that collapsed, and I'll do more on the business reverses of the Hunts in a few weeks. He also was known as this gang as the people that helped put up the money for the ad when Kennedy was killed, November 22, 1963, and working with Robert Morris and the Young Americans for Freedom that came over, the CUSA, the group that took over Young Americans for Freedom that came from Munich, Germany, with General Walker. That isn't in this story, but just to refresh your memory in case you don't know who the Hunts from Texas are. Close to Jack Ruby, Jack Ruby was in their office the Wednesday before the assassination. But the article goes on, one of the invitations Hunt issued was to Leon Jaworski. Before the meeting, Jaworski said he was very much impressed. Afterwards, he said, "I'm more impressed now than I ever was. I agree with their purpose and objectives. There's a need for something big like this to be done on a scale that reaches the masses. This is the man that covered up four major investigations that could change the history of the United States and is getting into a Christian crusade, making it a holy war instead of one where the legal boundaries define people's freedom." John Jones, the communications director of Campus Crusade, said this meeting was not a fundraiser. He said, "It is a Christian briefing. Our programs are presented. Our financial needs are explained. And if someone feels so led by God, we would like to have their pledges and prayers. But we're not salesmen. We don't push. We make sure that they know we need help, that it's implicit, that a pledge would be nice." A brochure distributed at the closed meeting, and this is, again, a secret meeting like Reagan's meetings of the fellowships in Washington and around the world. A brochure at the secret meeting said those individuals who pledge by faith to give or commit to raise a gift of $1 million or more become part of history's handful. And they use the word history three different times. And this is important, is this vision to change history. They will reach, it says, they are part of history's handful, a group of 1,000 individuals dedicated to seeing total investment of $1 billion or more. It later went up to several billion, literally to change the course of history. You will be part of history when we raise a billion or more, like 100 people giving $1 million each or whatever it is, to change the course of history. Mr. Jones didn't say who attended the meeting or which congressmen were there. He declined to say that, and he refused to say how much money that was raised. But William Bright said, as of May 18th, more than 100 people have become part of history's handful. More than 100 now have raised to give $1 million each. So $100 million was raised that weekend in Houston, Texas. The $1 billion, which endorsers want to raise by 1982, will be used to spread the gospel. A major tool will be a $6 million movie called Jesus to premiere in Southern California, and it will be shown around the world. By every measure of man and goal we undertake, this seems impossible and preposterous, but it can be done, said William R. Bright. If he started out with nothing at UCLA in 1951 and makes $49.5 million in 1980 spreading Jesus, it can be done, because wherever he got that $49 million, he can pick that up. It'll escalate, and he picked up $100 million just that week. Bright said in a brochure that everyone who reads this is a potential contributor. It won't be by mass action. It will come to pass because of the strategic, sacrificial contributions of a small handful who care enough to place themselves among the movers of history. We don't need the masses, just a small handful, and we'll change history. Ann Murchison, the wife of Clint Murchison Jr., the cowboy owner at the time, later he sold to Bum Bright, who helped pay the ad for the treason material the day Kennedy was killed. One of those at the meeting said at the session at the Houstonian Inn, "We're here to raise money for all the little people. So it goes into the jungles, into the Philippines. It's us. We are the ones who have the bucks." The meetings in Houston, Texas, would be duplicated in New York in September of 1980 and again in Miami in January of 81. That's just when Reagan was going to take his oath of office. Like the Houston session, they will be closed to guard the privacy of participants. Many are high-profile people. One of those high-profile people in Houston was Cullen Davis, the central figure of three of the most sensational trials in Texas. He was acquitted on charges. He killed his 12-year-old stepdaughter. In 1978, he was charged with solicitation of murder of the divorce judge, and that was called a mistrial. And then he made headlines on May the 4th when he became a born-again Christian, and he's ready to give his money to the Lord, and he's working with evangelist James Robeson in Fort Worth, Texas. That's the one who gave the opening address at the Reagan convention in Dallas, the GOP convention. He told the religious editor of the Dallas Morning News, I'm working with the Here's Life people. I support what they do. He and his wife would contribute. They didn't say how much. In advance of the Houston meeting, an advertisement was in Houston and Dallas newspaper signed by Gerald Ford, Mr. Rogers, Roy Rogers, Staubach and Bradshaw, and U.S. Senator William Armstrong, oh, it does mention him, the Republican from Colorado, and Jesse Helms, the Republican of North Carolina. Those are the two senators. We are not failures. We are not going to let the world fail either. This was the full ad they had. They'll give their $1 million each to Jesus. Well, Mr. Jesse Helms raised $20 million for his reelection campaign, so $1 million of that can go to Jesus, and then they put that money into getting him elected. There's a circle there, of course, pumping the money, and then he gives them what they want. And so this is an article about Turning the World Christian, a group that was just get ready to get operational when Ronald Reagan would win the election, the nomination in 1980, the election in November of 80, become president in 81. And these people were ready to move. Notice the Denver, Colorado. That is a hub of lots of Nazi activity, and the Republican from Denver, Colorado, and Jesse Helms are the two members of the Senate, Senator William Armstrong, Republican of Colorado, and Jesse Helms. So that is what is going on with the fellowship and this particular group that have their mindset on this changing history. We don't need many, but we've got the bucks. Now, another article is in the New York Times in 1981. Religiously oriented right-wing group plans their drive. And this has to do with Mr. Weyrich, W-E-Y-R-I-C-H. And he's the Roman Catholic who put the money into the Moral Majority, who originally got the impetus going for Mr. Falwell to combine the Catholics with the Protestants, and they melt very nicely in their goal to turn the entire world Christian. This comes from Memphis, Tennessee, the New York Times, the April the 12th, 1981. The immediate issues range go from pinball machines to abortion and to fight the people wanting legalized abortion. The Memphis chapter of the Religious Roundtable, headed by Paul Weyrich, the Washington-based director of the Committee for Survival of a Free Congress, and this tells about their meeting, and goes on to say that Mr. Weyrich, a Roman Catholic from the Middle West, has been pushing the candidates and those people and the money to get the Christian right moving, using Christians from the new right. And this is an article about the roundtable organization that he has. And they say the roundtable is God himself. There was an alliance of 200 people present in Memphis, Tennessee. And they were getting together with the Reverend Charles Mims of Louisville, Kentucky, a black member of the group, to show that black minority are part of the religious right, that they are fighting, in quotes, the diabolical enemy, humanism, that builds fences between the races. See, this is humanism leads to socialism. So they pulled in a black Reverend Charles Mims of Louisville, Kentucky. But Mr. Weyrich is the founder and one of the funders of Falwell, just as J. Peter Grace has helped Mr. Pat Robertson get his Christian broadcasting going. The Catholic and the Vatican have put money into the fundamentalist Protestants and joined in the goal of turning the world Christian. I mentioned an article last week in the Manchester Guardian, February the 27th, 1969, that a friend told me about, that he was to mail to me, where Pope Paul VI from Rome, Montini, who wrote the passports for the Nazis while he was Secretary of the Vatican for Martin Bormann and others, this article's about his being in contact with H.L. Hunt in Dallas, Texas, and that they had approved, this is Cardinal Montini, the old Montini, that the Vatican would send $11 million for a youth freedom movement to go down to South America, so that the Vatican and H.L. Hunt are closely linked together and were going back in 1969, and this organization was formed just a little bit later to turn the entire world Christian. The gospel thing was 1980. In 1969 is when the Vatican was working with H.L. Hunt. And then a year and a half later, Hunt is putting up $10 million to get it going off the ground. Now, was that Hunt's $10 million or was that the Vatican $10 million that was put in there to get this group going? But from the organization material about the fellowship, the secret meeting at the prayer breakfast that the president alluded to, the many links to the King of Tonga, bringing him here and buying him trucks and turning all those little islands Christian and bringing the organization to 40,000 different chapters in every nation of the world. The idea of spreading this money is working, and it is a very powerful force, an undercurrent that people are going to have to face later as you either become a Christian or you are excluded from a lot of the benefits of the society, including your life, if you go along with William Pierce and the Aryan Nations and what they publish and want tax deductions to print on how to kill you if you don't go along with this. Now, September the 9th, 1984, in the Catholic Register, there was a story out of Dallas, Texas, and again, about clergymen and a plank for the Republican platform. And it goes on to say that High Frontier, the idea of the space wars, developed by retired Admiral General Daniel O. Graham, it tells about his plans to push at the Republican Convention the space wars, but it explains how Graham became a Catholic convert in 1981. He's a former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, former deputy director of the CIA, military advisor to President Reagan during 1976 and 1980 campaigns, and he was converted to Catholicism. And this article from Dallas, Texas, tells about the clergy supports the Republicans' high frontier defense plan and how the church goes into not only converting those non-believers into believers, but that the 1,000 clergymen, including Archbishop Philip Hannon of New Orleans, called the defense system morally justifiable. This is an offensive attack to begin World War III against the Soviet Union, and 1,000 of the clergymen said it would be immoral not to have this because it may avoid nuclear war. It doesn't say what kind of war you have. There may not be a nuclear weapon, but a lot of things can happen to you. So by 1981, when this religious fellowship was really getting off the ground, Mr. Daniel Graham, the co-partner with Fritz Kramer in Washington, D.C., was taken into the Catholic Church and became a Catholic convert. The reason I'm bringing all this up now, I've had the material for a while, was seeing that movie on the Fourth Reich, Hitler's Fourth Reich, the SS, and the way it came together. It reminded me of all these little bits and pieces that I see falling in together with frightening consequences. Now, there was an article in the Washington Post that I've been wanting to share with you on the air for 2 months, which again goes into religion, not separation of church of state, but taking over the rule of the state. It was the San Francisco Chronicle, the Washington Post, December 27th, right between Christmas and New Year's, when we were all pretty busy, called AmeriCares Foundation. It sounds like America Cares Foundation. AmeriCares Foundation, Central America gets private aid. I'm going to read parts of this to you and also interrupt it, as I usually do, with my own feelings about it. This is about a private humanitarian organization. It begins, a private humanitarian organization called the AmeriCares Foundation works with the Order of the Knights of Malta and has channeled more than $14 million donated in medicine to El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala over the past 2 years. The bulk of the supplies, worth $10 million, goes to El Salvador, some to the Honduras, some to the Indians that have left Nicaragua. They begin by telling you it's a humanitarian organization. The whole theme of this article epitomizes exactly what's happened in the United States and has been happening for a long time. When Congress decides that they won't go along with a certain policy, then individuals, and particularly the Church and the Vatican that control our intelligence system anyway, can put into these countries the things that Congress does not want sent there for particular violations of human rights, where 40,000-50,000 people are killed and torture going on. We don't want to fund them. So the Church comes in, like the Knights of Malta, and it refers to members of the Knights of Malta and explains later in the article what they are. The Knights of Malta are the sovereign military Knights of Malta to defend the Catholic Church in military function, and many of those well-known knights that contradict the adjective they begin humanitarian are people like Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's intelligence chief, and James Angleton, and William Casey, and William Donovan, and Vernon Walters, our new head of the UN, and Claire Luce, and Alexander Haig, and William and James Buckley, and William Simon, you know these names, William Wilson, the financier for Reagan, our ambassador to the Vatican, J. Peter Grace, and so forth, with his partnership with Otto Ambrose from the concentration camps and the gas and extermination techniques in Nazi Germany. These are not humanitarian people. The excuse is they're humanitarian and they have to send in money. So they channeled $14 million donated in medical aid to Central America. Now, where do they get the $14 million? The medical companies donate it to them, and they list some of the companies, such as Sterling Drug, which is IG Farb, and there's a list of the various medical concerns that contribute money. But how do they get it? They charge us a huge cost, overcost, which is 10 or 20 or 30 times greater than, say, the same medicine in Canada. There's been a big fuss about that because of the huge profits. They charge us this big profit. Then they take that money and can send it down to the dictatorships down in Central America. Then what they send, they deduct, so they don't have to pay a tax on the profits they made from us, and it comes from us and Medicare and all the other ways they ripped us off for pills that really could be produced for pennies. And they make out that they're humanitarian. The founder of the AmeriCares Foundation is Robert C. McCauley, M-A-C-A-U-L-E-Y. I looked up in Who's Who. I can't find him to see where he came into the big bucks to start running this organization. $680,000 went to the Honduras. They make excuses for the Honduras, and $3.4 million went to medical aid to Guatemala, and it's distributed by the armed forces. Only the Knights of Malta and the military distribute it to resettlement programs and model villages that they want to set up in Guatemala. Well, what they want to do, W.R. Grace was a big part of the rape of Central America and the profits off of Central America, as well as a lot of other places. But really, these people are all from the intelligence community. They list the members involved. One is Attorney Prescott Bush, the brother of President, Vice President Bush. Prescott ran for the Senate and lost his last election. And William Simon is another member of this group, and Robert McCauley, and the head of it is Mr. Brzezinski, the man who worked so closely with Jonestown and Jimmy Carter, and you saw what happened down in that area with those poor people down there. They're not humanitarians. That was supposed to be a medical lab down there and a great medical experiment, and you saw what was happening when Jonestown was exposed and broken open. It was a place for torture and experimentation on people, and it wasn't a medical hospital or a compound at all. What's really going on in Guatemala was described June 2, 1984, in People's World, Secret Plan to Carve Up Guatemala. I'll share that with you in a minute, or begin the program with it next week. I just want to finish this article about this money, sending this money through J. Peter Grace. The operation is done through him, the head of W.R. Grace Conglomerate, chairman of the American Division of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And Grace, as I say, works with the brother of the former director of the CIA. So if they need this money to get down to Central America, don't believe it necessarily comes from contributions from medical supply companies. The article says there's 750 Knights of Malta in the United States, and they refer to William Casey and Alexander Haig and Joseph Califano. Califano, of course, worked with Sir Eric Gary and helped get rid of Maurice Bishop so that he could be back at Grenada with the Catholic hospital functioning whatever it's supposed to be doing there, and there's no controls on that. And it goes into the fact that the Knights of Malta was set up to fight the Muslims during the Crusades. If you don't know what the Crusades were, get out your history books. They were hardly humanitarian then, and they're not now. This devoutly Catholic order, according to the Washington Post, has 10,000 members in 42 nations. It's recognized diplomatically around the world. It's the only sovereign nation without territory. Its territory, just as that article I read in 1980, is to get in every home and mind of every person in the world and turn them Christian. That's their territory. They do have a building in Rome right near the Vatican, and the envoys from the Knights of Malta can travel in and out, and as I did a broadcast about 5 or 6 weeks ago, they can be couriers, money bags, and intelligence people working with the CIA. When you have people like Engelson and Casey and Vernon Walters and all of them, where's the separation of church and state and intelligence functions going on? And there's no way to keep track of the money. Mr. Alejos, the co-chairman of the Knight of Maltas in Honduras, said that during the Bay of Pigs operation, his home was used for the Central Intelligence Agency. I don't know if you were ever in Cuba when Batista was there. I was there twice before Castro came in. And the prostitution, the gambling, people like Frank Sturgis running the gambling tables, it was a country of exploitation and poverty. And the use of his property in Honduras was to kill Castro and take back the sugar fields and the slave labor and the women for the prostitution. And the Bay of Pigs operation came out of his backyard. So these aren't just people tied up with medical, humanitarian things that they want you to think. They're tied in to the military. As a matter of fact, this gentleman said that if he was asked to send weapons in, he would, that he wouldn't mind that. Mr. McCauley said, head of this AmeriCares, he says he's never shipped military equipment, but he would do so at the request of the U.S. government. We are a humanitarian group, but as a citizen, it is incumbent on me to carry out the orders of our commander-in-chief. Well, watch, get a rerun of NBC's The History of the SS, or when Lyndon Johnson called an Earl Warren and said, I want you to head this commission, and Earl starts crying. He doesn't want his name on it. It's going to be the biggest bad block of fiction that ever came out of the government printing office. And Warren says, well, you were in the service. Lyndon Johnson says, you were in the service. And he says, yeah. He said, then I give you orders as commander-in-chief. You head this commission. And then they put Alan Dulles and John J. McCloy, the very people who brought the Nazis into America and incorporated them from the SS to the OSS during the war, and the Warren Commission was formed. So the Knights of Malta would be, he says, he would distribute weapons if he was asked to. So that doesn't mean he doesn't do them now. The 14 million of the medicine and the medical care they're sending down there are people who've been hurt in battle. Can you imagine what 14 million would build if you took the money and just put it into homes and water and electricity and farms and got some poultry and animals for these people to eat or milk to drink from them and so forth? Can you imagine what they would have? So they act like humanitarians. It's all a nest of the CIA and the Vatican, not separate from H.L. Hunt and Gerald Ford and Leon Jaworski. All these people work together. So in 1980, you have one group who are going to do one set of operation around the world. In 1985, you have another group that have been working 2 years. So they're stepping stones to the multinational corporations and the Vatican. Members of the Knights of Malta running our intelligence community, infiltrating these areas and giving themselves the aura of being so kindly. Think of George Bush and the Hinckley family. They were close to the Hinckleys, and the Hinckleys were supposed to move to Guatemala the day after Reagan was supposed to have died in March of 1981 as part of World Vision. The blending of the political, if J. Peter Grace is a business partner of Otto Ambrose, of I.G. Farben, the great exterminators, these are not humanitarian people, and Mr. Brzezinski isn't humanitarian, and William Simon isn't humanitarian. And under the guise of that Prescott, Bush, and all of them, they act like these people need medication and help, and all you're getting is more deaths, death squads, tortures, and they use the church as an extension for what is political, as if they've separated, yet everyone doing it is a political animal. They're not individuals from the church doing it out of the kindness of their heart. And the Washington Post and the San Francisco Chronicle carry the story beginning the humanitarians, not with a good biography of all the people that have killed people in Southeast Asia and in Grenada or Guyana and Pakistan and Chile. These are the mass murders in Philippines and South Korea. Put in the dictatorships, this gang and the gang from Texas that got together in 1980. And think of all the blood they've spilled, and now they're acting like they want to give medicine to some Indians and natives in Central America. The time is out now, and I'll do more about Guatemala and J. Peter Grace maybe next week, to in case you don't get the idea that I don't think they're humanitarians. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. I don't know how you keep off the church off your back with this much money and power, but at least you can get a view of what's happening and how these people converge together. I'll be back with you next week, and you take it easy until then.